Welcome to the Washington Defender Grassroots. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. Hey, if you haven't checked out FPIW.org or FPIWaction.org, I would love for you to check that out. Also, if you enjoyed these episodes, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, and comment. And if you're in that Washington Defender app, place this in your huddle. We're trying to change your hearts, so we change the public square. And we have a special, special guest with us today, Desleen from Spokane Valley. And she actually attends my church where I pastor at. And Desleen, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Pastor Brian. It's good to be here.
Now, she's one of my favorite people. And the reason is because she runs our feeding program at Valley Assembly. She runs our outreach of how we give groceries and those kind of things. And our goal today is just to inspire pastors. Let's get outside of those walls. Let's find our neighbors. Let's love them and give them food that they need and just care about them and that kind of thing. So, Desleen, how long have you been running the feeding program at Valley Assembly?
Not quite a year.
Yay.
This October will be 1 year.
That's awesome. So why don't you introduce yourself to our audience and a little bit about yourself and your family and what you're doing at Valley.
Oh, let's see. Well, I have my husband, Robert, and he drives a produce truck. And then I have my son, Curtis, and he graduated from high school and is trying to find his place in this world.
Yeah.
And then my son, Aiden, he's recently gone to heaven.
Right.
So he's with Jesus, which is breaks my heart that I'm not with him.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. Yeah, and I know we walked as a church family with, we're still walking, and not that it's not past tense, we're still walking with you on that. And so as far as your outreach at Valley, I can give a little bit of history of that. So Pastor Cameron and I, probably, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years, I don't really know the date, but we were walking around the church and saying, how can we impact our community? And we found the old garage is what it was. It was just an old storage unit. And we said, this would be a perfect place to feed people. And so we contracted with a number of, one contractor, and we got it built out. And so we have a feeding program at Valley Assembly for the last 5, 6, 7 years. I really don't know the time frame, so don't quote me on that. So give us an update, like how many people are you feeding? How does that look? I mean, do people have to register, or what's happening there?
Well, the way we run our food pantry is that we are feeding probably anywhere from 60 is the average. Sometimes it gets up to 80. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's lower. It just depends. We find the end of the month is the bigger need. When people are running out of money, mm-hmm. and a lot of people are dependent on state checks. So when they don't have those, then they run low on food. So they come by and they fill out a registration card. We don't have a requirement. There are some food banks in the area that they only allow you to come like twice a month.
Okay.
And so they put a restriction on it. Mm-hmm. Our food bank isn't operated like that. We operate that you can come anytime that you need food.
Mm-hmm. And so they fill out this little card. It's very simple. It's their first and last name. And I think it has like a card description. And then also they can write down a prayer request, I believe, if that's accurate.
Yes, it is. So they give us a little bit of information about themselves. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, like if they have any allergies or anything, we try to accommodate that. Right. As best we can. But then on the back, we do have a list of prayer requests so that we can pray for them. And not only do we pray for them when they are on site, but we also pray for them each week. We pass out all of those cards to our staff, and we pray over each and every single one, regardless of whether they have put down a prayer request.
Yeah. And that's the part I've been on as a staff, praying over those cards for a number of years. And it's really special to see us reach out. What when you see people come in, what's primarily causing their need? What do you see as like where they are as far as, you know, in our society and culture?
Well, you know, I don't see a lot of people who are poor. Mm-hmm. What I'm seeing is a lot of people who have lost their job, or or the expenses of things has gotten so high that they can't provide. So they just need a little supplement in their home.
Right.
We do see a lot of people from Ukraine that come to our food pantry.
Okay.
And I think that's a challenge for us in that language barrier. It's hard to pray for them,
right?
Because it's hard to get the prayer request.
Right, exactly. It's a little bit. We should get those earbuds that translate. You know.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that the other day. But both people have to have the earbuds, otherwise it's not going to work. Like, so anyways. But yeah, absolutely. So you're seeing a lot of people, even from the refugee, because I think in Spokane, there's a number of those like Thrive and different areas that have, you know, where they've brought in people from war stricken countries and brought them in. And
correct.
Yeah. So do you see a lot of single moms and those kind of clients and people you get to minister to?
You know, it's hard to tell whether they're single or not, okay, because you know, we don't ask for marital status.
Okay.
You know, and I do see, like, we have one mother who comes in every week, mm-hmm, and she's picking up for her two daughters. They both work and then they can't get there. So she comes and picks up for them. We have another gal. She comes and picks up for quite a few of her neighbors. So they don't even come to the food pantry. She just gets like 4 or 5 orders and then takes it to her apartment complex because those people can't drive.
Right.
We do have some people who walk up because they have no transportation. Mm-hmm. There are some that are maybe homeless, but they are very few and far between.
Okay.
We see more of the people who are working but just cannot provide enough for their families.
Where do you guys source your food at? From?
So we have partnered with Feed Spokane, mm-hmm, and they go around and do food rescue in the community. I think Stephen Brashears and his wife had a hand in setting up that ministry. And then as we opened our food pantry, then we partnered with them.
Okay.
And then we also get food from Second Harvest.
Okay.
So, but I also find that one of the greatest blessings comes from within our church, because we have 2 bins that are set up, one at our back doors and one at the front, and people bring food and just drop it off. And so then we incorporate that into our pantry, as well as people donate money, right, on a regular basis. And so then we're able to go out and buy some of the things that we need for our food pantry.
Yeah. You know, if a pastor is thinking about starting something like this, I think we do ours on Wednesday nights. Is that right? But then there's like the prep night as well on Tuesdays. So there's tell us that schedule, I guess. What would they be looking at if they wanted to do this?
Well, I think, you know, and you would know better than I would, because I think we started small.
Right.
And then we grew the ministry. And my predecessor, she actually knew a lot about the food ministry. And so she was able to partner and grow with a lot of this as well. So so we started small and now we're bigger. And we're even looking at, you know, how can we feed more people? Where is God leading us? What is the future for our food pantry? But if you wanted to start, I think that you look at what the need is in your community. And then you provide what you can. A lot of people are looking for eggs and milk and meat and a few staples like rice and beans and oatmeal. So, you know, we try to provide a lot of that each week as much as we can.
So when we started out at Valley, it actually didn't have a building. It didn't have all the refrigeration units that we have now. It didn't have any of that. It simply started out with, we had people coming to the door, and instead of just saying, no, go somewhere else, we wanted to say, okay, what does the Lord want to do in this moment? And so we would have just a grocery bag, and it would have like 2 cans of chili and some crackers in it. And we just kept that behind the counter at the front desk. And when people come in, we would pray with them. We would encourage them as much as we can. And we'd say, this is what we have to offer today. And so we'd give them that if they wanted it. Now, some people said, no, I don't want that or what have you. But then that began to grow, and Pastor Cameron became a real strong leader in making it, you know, where there is fresh food and there is, you know, different things. But we just started out just very simple, like let's be active in feeding people to the best that we can. And so that would have been probably 10 years ago, I would think. But it's taken some time to get it going. And so I know that on one day you guys have food come in, and then you kind of have to have teams that prepare that, get that ready. And then on the next day, you give it out. So
usually we meet around about 11 on Tuesdays, mm-hmm. and we usually work till 3.
Okay.
And so the first load comes in about 11:15, 11:30. So we pick up our first load from Feed Spokane. Mm-hmm. We have a guy who drives our church van and trailer down there, and they load everything up, and then he brings it to us. And then it's on pallets. So we have a big pallet jack, and we bus it into the space that we have. And then all of us, we pray over the food and we thank God for it. And then we go and start putting it away on the shelves. We kind of have it's kind of a circle within our pantry. Mm-hmm. So we have a place for bread and snacks. And then on our back wall, we have a place for canned goods. And then we have a place for beans, rice, and pasta and miscellaneous. Then we have our refrigeration. Well, actually, we have a produce area because we get quite a bit of apples and pears and potatoes in. And then we have refrigeration units where we put our milk, cheese, and any vegetables that need to be refrigerated. And then we have a freezer unit. And so then we put all the frozen goods into the freezer. And then once we've done that, then they go off and they get a second load from Second Harvest. And mm-hmm. so then they come back and we do the same thing all again until it's all put away.
And so that gets kind of that prep. And the people usually aren't going into that. We tried this a couple of different ways. We used to have people go in, but I think at this point you're going in and taking their orders and having people fill that. Is that correct? Or how are you guys giving them the food?
So what we do is they tell us, they fill out that registration card,
yeah,
and how many people are in their family. And then we go through and we take the carts just like in that order that I told you. So we put on bread, we put on canned goods, beans and rice, produce, refrigeration, freezer, and then they're out. We also provide toiletries. Mm-hmm. So between refrigeration and freezer, they can request toiletries. So we have like toothpaste, toothbrushes, dental floss, deodorant, soap.
Right. Right. And so your volunteers are doing that loop basically, and then coming back out with.
Right. And then I have 4 prayer warriors. So usually a prayer warrior is somebody who takes the cart and they take it to the person's car, and then they unload the groceries into the car, and then they pray over them. Mm-hmm. They usually, you know, ask, do you have any prayer requests? Can I pray for you? You know, every time I find that I do that, most people say, no, I'm good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I have started just saying to them, well, can I pray a blessing over you?
Yeah.
And then I do. And they're always very thankful.
Yeah. Yeah, it's finding that way of connection into that. And some people may be wondering, why is Family Policy Institute of Washington, you know, focused on a food pantry? Aren't you guys all about Olympia and politics? No. That is one element, but we're here to change whole cultures, and the church being the benevolent arm within the community. In other words, taking care of the orphans, the widows, the downcast, the outcast, and ministering, that is the church's responsibility. And that is part of the family unit that we always are talking about here at Family Policy Institute of Washington, is that if we really want to see our culture changed for Jesus Christ, that we have to be active in that. Now, that's not the government's job. And it's our job to feed those around us and to take care of them as much as we can. I know the system's broke, and so there's some putting back together that has to happen. But this is why we talk about it. We want to inspire. Could you imagine in each county, there's 39 counties, and there's like, 281 cities, I think. If we had food pantries ran by the church where people got prayer and they saw the love of Christ, you know, daily. I mean, that would be powerful. And there could be other nonprofits, of course, but Wouldn't that, I think that would be life changing. And I love this idea of praying a blessing over them. That's just powerful, Desleen. That's beautiful. So what are some of the testimonies that you've heard come out of our food pantry?
Well, I heard a testimony the other day. I had asked this gal if I could pray for her. And of course, she said no.
Yeah.
So I prayed a blessing over her. And afterwards, she goes, "Oh, I just wanted to let you know that you've been praying that I get a job. And so I've gotten a job." She says it's only about 2.5 hours every day because she's working in the school system in the cafeteria. But right. She said, I got a job.
That's awesome. You're like, see, prayer makes a difference, you know?
Yes.
That's awesome. That's awesome. You know, we've heard many things where people, we had one young couple who were homeless. We know right where they lived at camping, quote unquote, but it wasn't really camping. It was next to the freeway. The young lady ended up being pregnant, and we worked with them. We got them into housing and, you know, and just walking with them through many, many things as they move forward. And I believe they're still doing well in their housing situation, and that he has a employment and he's seen the love of Christ. They ended up having to move, I think, to the South Hill or to a different part of Spokane. So, they still don't have transportation, but anyway, so we've seen testimonies from that to where people come. How do you handle if someone says, well, what if they take advantage of our giving, or what if they, what if they're just using the system? How do you handle that, Desleen?
Well, I have struggled with that personally. Yeah. I'm like, yeah. What? But I was told to operate our pantry from a place of abundance.
Mm-hmm.
And so God is the one that provides. So when people choose to take advantage of the system, then that is really on them. And all I can do is pray for them. And hopefully the Holy Spirit will convict and they will see the error of their ways.
Exactly right. And this is what's really important, is how many of us have taken the advantage of God's grace before? And we don't do it intentionally, but we have. And I love it because Jesus said, when you give me a cup of cold water, or when you feed someone, you do it as unto me. You do it as if you're serving me. And so that's really what we're doing. We're serving Christ by giving to others and showing that model of grace. And you're right, exactly. There could be a conviction of the Holy Spirit. They may come back and bless at some time and be a volunteer and, I don't know, whatever they choose to do. But I think sometimes the church has excused itself from being benevolent because they're afraid of being taken advantage of. And I think we need to be wise, but we also need not be afraid of that because we're doing it as unto the Lord and operate out of abundance versus a scarcity mindset. Yeah, that's right. Good. Any closing thoughts as we kind of wrap up here that you'd like to say to motivate and encourage people to be involved in their community?
Well, and I think that churches don't feel like you have to do it alone.
Mm.
You know, there are so many churches. We all love Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So partner with local churches.
Right.
I find that for us, when we have an abundance of food, sometimes I'm like, I don't want to throw it away.
Right.
But I have so much of it, I don't know what to do with it. Mm-hmm. So I have found other food pantries in the area that I've called them and said, "Hey, if I have an abundance of food, can I call you? Would you be able to take it?" And I have. I've been able to bless other churches in the community.
That's good.
So, but we are one body.
Right.
And so we should be working together.
Yeah. That's so good. Yeah. We're not in competition, because competition says we have two different Lords. We only have one Lord. It's Jesus Christ. And so we're not in competition. We're here just to be the hands and feet of Jesus, wherever we can. That's so good. And that partnership is good. And listen to that. I can tell you that's just amazing, because there's been times when we first started where we, we had the opposite problem. We had no food, and we're like, wow, what do we do with this lack of food, and how do we feed these people? And God always seemed to provide a miracle just right at the right time, whether it was cash so we could go buy something, or whether, you know, Second Harvest or someone called up and said, we have way more. We need to get rid of this. And so I can remember one time, someone said, I'm going to bring you some potatoes. And I said, how much? And they said, oh, it's a semi-truck load. And I'm like, what am I going to do with a semi-truck load of potatoes? You know, and Pastor Cameron had to figure it out, you know, but he, they, you know, it was so many potatoes, but they kind of, I think if I remember right, they dumped them out and then they, you know, on the parking lot, and then the people came and got some, and then we bagged a whole bunch and we kept them as long as we could. And it was a lot of fun. So, amen. Well,
and I've had people recently, I had this gal who says, I have an apple tree.
Right.
Can you come get these apples?
Yeah. What do I do with all this? That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Well, good. Why don't you pray a blessing over us if you'd feel comfortable? If not, I can do it, but and then we'll be good for today.
All right. Heavenly Father, we just come before you and we thank you for everyone who has tuned in. Father, I just pray a blessing over each church, Lord, over every pastor that begins to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, to open their doors, to be able to see the need in their community, Lord. And even if they only are passing out, you know, small, tiny meals, Father, that they are still blessing those that are around them, those who can't afford, those who have lost jobs, those who are struggling just to find their place. And Lord, I just thank you and praise you that you are our provider and that you will bring the abundance that we need so that we can bless others in our community. So be a blessing to every single one and let us open our hearts to see how you want us to serve. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.